Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and we are welcoming back another guest who we always enjoy having, and it's always a fun conversation, and someone that we haven't had on for a while. So it was really nice to be asked actually by her to if she can come back on. So fortunately, she has a day off today and wanted to bring back Liz Comey. Welcome back, Liz.
Hey, thanks. Shout out to farm workers for the day off for the holiday.
So we are in a season where we just finished our series on serving. And so we were kind of talking about what we were going to discuss today. And Liz had a lot of good things to talk about in regards to serving and her background in serving. So I thought this is a perfect time for us to be talking about this and having this conversation in light of us just coming off this whole series on serving. And some of the small groups are still going through serving in the small groups because each small group only meets every other week. So the small groups take it a little bit longer to get through the content than the sermon series. So this could be a good encouragement to the small groups as well as wrapping up our serving series with the sermon. So Liz, would you like to share some of your background in serving?
Sure. So just as a disclaimer, I've been told that while some people have a train of thought, I have a pogo stick of thought. So if it gets a little rambly, you know, Damon can reel it back in a little bit. Okay.
Man, that's a lot of pressure you're putting on me.
It's okay. I trust you. You got this. Okay. So I grew up in a dynamically serving family, and based on my years of reflection and awareness, a lot of it has to do with culture. A lot of it has to do with limited resources. You know, we can go into being Japanese American, internment camps. There were some social injustices that we directly experienced. And so it was really important for a lot of people in the family to not only take care of themselves and the people around them, but also to make sure that resources were available and whatever it looked like to help other people, which is all beautiful and wonderful. There's an aspect to serving that I have always struggled with my whole life. Like, if you know me, you might have a perception of me being, you know, possibly a very lovely human being, but I'm as a kid, and I am, God loves me and God made me. But I have a lot of like selfish tendencies for sure. And growing up in a serving family, I was always, as Brett shared, you know, his dad, Don, volunteered him to serve. And I had a lot of that going on growing up. I had a lot of really good modeling of serving. And I had two parents that were definitely heavily, heavily involved in ministry and mm-hmm. were serving all the time. Worship team, leading small groups, prayer teams, etc. And then this is back in the day where, you know, you don't leave your kids at home, or maybe you do, but my parents surely didn't. So I was just with my sister in a side room during many of these events for hours. Guys, no screens. There were no screens. So we had books. Like I still to this day read a lot, and, you know, shout out to the library. But it was hours of sitting there. And so that also kind of fed into my why we got to be out here all the time. So I had to go through this transition period where serving became something that was valuable to me personally, much like my relationship with Christ. Mm. It's great to have it modeled and to have it be an impactful part of your family culture, your faith culture, your ethnic culture, whatever the case may be. But when you can take it upon yourself, hopefully from a healthy place, that's where I want to be. Mm-hmm. I want to be doing it from the right place, not out of a performative or obligatory or guilt or shame mm-hmm. place.
So yeah, so what you're saying is that, you know, for each of us in our faith journey and even in this journey of serving, it's like we need to take ownership for ourselves of our own faith, of our own journey in serving. It's not just something that, oh, I do it because my parents do it. I'm a Christian because my parents are a Christian, or I serve because my parents serve. But it's like, no, we want to get to this place where I'm serving because that's my heart, and it's my heart that the Lord has put into me, and this is the way that I can serve him, and this is the way that I can express my appreciation and respond to his love for me, and I can serve him in that.
Right. And that's a part of the individual, of everyone's individual journey. There's mm-hmm. going to be times where you're voluntold, or you're going with a friend, or whatever the case may be. And that's a piece of the process to getting you in there, so that you can kind of experience different things that you might not have chosen on your own. So I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm just saying, ideally, you get to that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's a part of the journey that not a lot of people get to, right? It's like we stay in kind of where we grew up, right? So if it was obligation growing up, it continues to stay obligation. And so it's cool to see in your journey how the Lord has taken it from that space of obligation to a space of where now in your life, you're like, I don't want to do it because I feel obligated to do it, but I want to do it because that's how my response is to him.
Yeah. And what I really appreciate is the beautiful piece of my relationship with God is that I have come to trust him and understand that he really understands me. Mm-hmm. He knows all of my raggedy, selfish thoughts, and he knows how I best operate, and definitely the areas where I'm very weak, and where he wants to grow me, and the best way to go about that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how everyone else feels, but as a parent, like the struggle, I have three teenagers now, but you know, I've been through a lot of the things, and yes, in your head, you know, every kid is different and you're learning while they're learning, and things that you thought were going to work don't work, and you have to adjust constantly. And I know that I don't understand completely the exact best thing that's going to help them mm-hmm. in whatever they're going through. And that's tough as a parent, because you want to give that best opportunity to them. And sometimes it's wrong, you know, and I experienced that in my kid parent relationship when I was growing up with my own parents. And I have definitely told my kids, like, I'm going to try some things and sometimes this is going to be wrong. So, you know, we'll work through that in prayer and therapy and healing and deliverance or whatever needs to happen, but for sure. And then just knowing that God doesn't have that problem with me, like mm-hmm. he knows where I'm at, and he knows he's not going to fail. I mean, I might mess it up, but like he's not trial and error mm-hmm. working with me from his perspective. So that's something that I take comfort in. So in that, for serving, I've heard other people say this as well. God definitely speaks to me through things that I don't want to do. Mm. And so when there's a strong, immediate response, like I definitely don't want to serve there, then I have to pause and say, okay, God, this is obviously like a pain point or of some a trigger, something for me. And okay, if you really want me here, then I want to get there. Mm. I want to be able to say yes. I want to say yes, even if I don't want to right now. So whatever I need to do, you know, please just make it clear to me. Please help me through. So. I can do whatever it is you're trying to accomplish for me and for other people.
Yeah, it seems like that is a common theme that we've been talking about even in our last episode of the podcast, which, okay, so just a disclaimer, we are recording this on Tuesday. We're probably going to release it Wednesday or Thursday, but, you know, we did release an episode on Monday, and the guest that shared on Monday talked very similarly about something very similar in regards to really not wanting to do something or really not wanting to go somewhere. Right. And where does that come from? And it's also recognizing there is an adversary out there, and, you know, Satan doesn't want us to do things that are going to benefit us or benefit other people. So he's going to put roadblocks up. So, you know, our previous guest was talking about, okay, the previous guest was Trish, right? So Trish was talking about how she didn't want to go to the healing service and how that was just turned out to be an amazing experience, right? And so in similar ways, there might be opportunities for us in serving or other things that really the Lord wants to grow us in a specific way, but the enemy doesn't want us to grow in that way either. So he's going to try to put up roadblocks, barriers, different thoughts that are going to make it so that we don't want to do that. So that's where I think it's cool that you're talking about really seeking the Lord to say, Lord, if this is what you have for me, if this is the area that you want me to grow in, then I'm willing to step into it. But at the same time, it's like, please make it clear that that's what you want for me too.
Exactly. And I just want to remind everyone that growing in something doesn't mean you're going to like it or be good at it. Mm. So that's important. Obviously, I want to feel good when I serve. I want to benefit people. And there's always a benefit, whether it's hidden or something very tangible. But sometimes it's not about me specifically. It's about some sort of interaction, some sort of breadcrumb or seed that was planted, maybe in a volunteer, maybe in somebody that I interact with in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it's just me even talking about it later. There's little bits and pieces because God's always doing his thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to impede what he's trying to do. Mm. And so I try to think about that for perspective. When it comes to, do I have time for this? Do I have energy for this? These are all important things to consider when I'm trying to decide where to serve. I thought the ministry fair was really cool. And the coolest part for me was the fact that I sort of didn't think about it. I didn't have it like on my radar in a huge way because I do serve in some different places. But my kids are like, oh, but we're going to go to the ministry fair after. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, great. Then, yeah, sure, we'll stay and do that. And then following that thought, I was just reflecting on each of my three kids. They're 15, 19, and 21 now. And
So you don't have three teenagers, like you said before. One of them is not a teenager anymore.
You're right. I have like two legal adults and two teenagers overlapping. It's crazy, guys. But
we are definitely getting old.
I know. I can call them young people now. It's fine. But I was able to really just reflect on where my kids are at currently and feel blessed because in a lot of ways I did bring them with me when we were in our church in Ohio. And there's tons of volunteer serving opportunities that I took advantage of whenever they were kid friendly, because I wanted to let them experience some things and also, you know, just
And you wanted to model it for them too.
For sure. But I know how it feels to be voluntold. And the same with your faith and your personal relationship with God. Like eventually I want to see them come to those understandings from their own space and to make that decision to follow God or serve others from the right place because that's what they feel called to do, not because I'm saying it's a good thing or whatever. So yeah, I feel kind of like a winner in that each of my kids has come to this place where I have seen them of their own independent choice serving in different places. They're serving in their fellowships, helping to create safe places for the people that participate, just to be heard, be seen, and also to know more about God. And yes, I get the pushback, you know, I mean, that's just home life, right? You ask somebody to do something and you get the eye roll or the head throwback or whatever vocal sounds come out of their mouth. it's usually not, yeah, I'm on it. I got you. Like that's not.
But it feels so good when it actually is that, right? When they do say that. Shout out to my kids when they do say that. Sometimes they do.
Wow. And it's like,
oh, that feels good when you guys say that. Can you guys say that more often?
And guys, I'm the worst kid. I mean, you can ask my mom. She's long-suffering. And when I moved back in her house, I thought I was a mature grown adult. And I'm not, guys. Really like a horrible teenager still in many ways. So anyway, just keeping it humble, keeping it real here.
Well, I do think it's cool to see, you know, as our kids are getting older and they're given some of these opportunities, that they're the ones, right? Like you said, they're the one that said, Mom, we got to stay for the ministry fair. We want to go right. to this. Like that, I mean, my kids did not tell me that, but but I'm sure that hearing that from your kids, that's like, oh, something that they're experiencing with the Lord is right. Or, you know, there's something good that they're experiencing that they're saying, we want to go to this ministry fair. We want to see different ways to serve. But it's also been cool because as we were prepping for this episode, you were kind of sharing some of the ways that your kids are serving, not inside the church, but outside the church. Would you like to share some of those stories too? Because I think it's cool when we're recognizing that they're choosing to serve outside, because that's, you know, really when they're showing God to people in the world. And really that's what, one of the things that the Lord is calling us to is sharing him and pointing other people to him. So can you share some of those stories? I think those are pretty cool too.
Yeah. So I guess I'm going to start with my favorite son, my middle child. He has always been highlighted by various teachers and, you know, authority figures that have gone, and random parents that have gone out of their way to come and tell me that they really like him. And part of it is because of his kindness and the way that he is willing to, getting a little emotional, the way that he is.
That's okay. Let it out.
The way that he's so good with others. In school, in like fourth or fifth grade, his teacher, the Dr. Allie, shout out to Dr. Allie. She's the gifted teacher. And she said, you know, Brandon's the only student that never complains about any group he's put in. He's always willing to work with anybody. And then in high school, Brandon decided he wanted to be on the volleyball team. And we didn't have the resources for him to go to volleyball like club training in the summers, where a lot of the boys really increased their skill levels. And they're just like, you know, really talented players in that sense. And then every year at the end of the year banquet, the coach always takes a minute to encourage each player individually. And Brandon always got, this guy was always the last one in the room, making sure everything was taken care of, always asking if I needed any help. And, you know, I really value that. And Brandon would kind of self-deprecatingly talk about himself, like, yeah, he never talks about me being good at anything related to actual playing volleyball. It's just like, oh, I'm good at cleaning up. But for me, I was like, you know how important that is? Like, how often do you hear about a kid that's good at cleaning up and that teachers are thankful for in that sense? You know, and they're not doing it because they're getting paid or for recognition. That's just, you know, you have a special gift in that way. Like, God gave you a servant's heart. And you're not doing it with people because it's fun and enjoyable and entertaining. You're doing it because, you know, it matters to you.
So. Yeah, it's cool to see when they get celebrated for their character in places where it seems like they would be getting celebrated for something else, but it's really their character that's standing out. Yeah. I think that's really a blessing as a parent, right? And this is something I was going to share in the message this past Sunday, but we kind of went kind of long. you know, one of the things that really blessed me as a dad is there was a teacher, and, you know, when Dylan was in elementary school, the teacher he came up to us and he said, you know, I really appreciate Dylan because he's the only kid in all my years of teaching that every day at the end of the day, he comes up to me and says, thank you for being my teacher. Aww. And he does it every day. And I was like, I don't know he did that. And he's like, no. So it's been really a pleasure to have him on my class because each day comes up and says, thank you. And I was like, wow, like I didn't tell him he had to do that. He's right. just doing that on his own. And the teacher's recognizing that. And it was definitely a choice that because he could totally have just been like all the other kids.
Thanks, bye.
Yeah, just left class. But it was a choice that he made to go out of his way and go up to his teacher and say, thank you for being my teacher each day. And it's like, wow, I felt very blessed by hearing that too. Just You know, so it's cool to see when, you know, other people recognize the character, because then it really points them to the character of God.
Oh, here's a little funny story. So because of how I experience people speaking well of my kids and their character. Let me go back. Also shout out to my oldest child, who is a ministry leader in her fellowship, and she's responsible for helping nurture a group of younger students and giving them a place to feel safe and grow in their faith. She's a shepherd with her fellowship out there. And then Viv, who was like, "Mom, what ministries are you signing up for?" And she is considering being a teacher, which is kind of amazing to me, because I was pretty sure she was like, "I don't even like kids." So, so I'm just blessed by all the ways they are serving from good places. Okay, what was I talking about now?
Shoot. You're talking about hearing about character in your own kids from other people.
All right. Well, this is what happens when you get older, people. You lose these this little...
This is the pogo stick. The pogo
it,
stick.
It jumped too far away. And now I've lost my train of thought. It'll come back.
That's okay. You know, so kind of like we had mentioned, we just had this ministry fair, you know, on Sunday. And your kids are actually the ones that were saying, "Mom, we need to stay." Did they sign up for any of the ministries?
I did not ask specifically, but I think that they were looking, I think Viv was looking at children's ministry, and I will follow
okay,
up.
Okay, so she
Brandon.
Definitely doesn't not like kids if she's trying to sign up for children's ministry. But, you know, I think it's really cool to give some of our younger people opportunities to serve too in the church, because I think sometimes, you know, they look at it as, okay, when I become an adult, then I need to serve, right? But it's, how are we helping them to cultivate this culture and this heart while they're still growing up, that will last them the rest of their life too, right? And not just like, when I get to this point, then I can do this, right? But
right.
It's opening things up to them and empowering them as they're growing up too, and giving them opportunities to do that while they're still in the different ministries that we have.
Right, and also just being able to come up under all these amazing different people that we have in our community that engage in different ways than we as parents directly engage. And sometimes they're more receptive to a neutral, encouraging environment than they would be directly under us. Oh, I just remembered the story. This is a shout out to the Harada family. So as a parent, whenever anyone gives me positive feedback about my children, I feel so blessed, especially if it happens externally from any influence that I'm directly exerting. So I like to take pictures of kids when they're interacting with the Lord or just demonstrating any sort of character and send it to their parents.
I've gotten a few of those myself, and I was like, "Oh, that's cool. Thanks, Liz. I didn't even see that. I didn't see them doing that."
So if you have a kid and I don't have your phone number, you know, feel free to reach out. But I have sent pictures or video of Brett as ministry leader to his parents sometimes. Just like, look at how cool, you know, like when our kids are serving and living out their identity in the Lord, like, it's such a blessing. And in case you haven't been able to witness it, here's some for you. So,
yeah, I think that's, you know, it is a blessing to see when our kids are interacting with the Lord and able to, especially in times when, you know, we're not necessarily paying attention to what they're doing, because then it really is coming from their own heart, from their own space, right? They're not doing it because we're doing it.
Right.
They're just doing it on their own. And that's a real blessing too. You know, I think it's really cool just to see the generational aspect of a lot of this. You know, for me, that's why I've taken the role of, you know, leading the multi-gen services, because I really feel like that's a big value for myself, but it is a big value in our church. And, you know, that, like I said, that's why we had multi-gen this past Sunday, even though it wasn't the first Sunday of the month, because we didn't want to go 2 months without it. And seeing the different generations interacting, kind of like you said, you know, there aren't a lot of opportunities for our kids to be spoken into by people of different generations in the secular world, right? And so this is an opportunity for them to receive so much, right? And personally, I've received so much from the people in our congregation that are different generations. I mean, your mom is one of them. It's so cool to me when your whole family is on the worship team, right? It's like your mom, you, your sister, your niece. And it's like, this is so cool that all there's three generations represented worshiping the Lord together. That's something that's really unique and special to me about our church. And I'm not saying it's unique in terms of there aren't other churches that have that,
right.
But I do feel like we do value that. And it's really just special to see things like that. So shout out to your family, because it is cool to see just the different generations interacting and the ways that generations are passing down the heart for the Lord and the heart to serve and things like that, and seeing it throughout our congregation, you know. And we do have some amazing people at our church, and I probably say this too much, but when I am standing up there and I look around, it's like, wow, there's so many amazing people the Lord has brought to our church to be a part of our church family.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the way that you brought up Sean to kind of interview some different folks in our community.
I didn't bring him up to interview people. I brought him up because, well, one, since he's on the team, I want him to feel empowered to be able to, you know, have a level of authority in the service. So I told him, I said, Sean, like, it's up to you what you want to do. Mm. You don't have to, you know, I told him you could make a video, you could do a skit, you could give part of the message, it's up to you. Like, this part, I want you to feel like you have ownership because you are a part of the team and I value you. And so he said, you know, I feel like the Lord told me to interview people about serving. And so I was like, that sounds great. That totally fits what we're talking about right now. It fits the message, fits the ministry fair, fits the season that we're in when we're talking about serving. And so, you know, he came up with all the questions that he was going to ask them, you know, and that was something I told him afterwards. I was like, you know, the sharing was so good because the questions were good. You asked the right questions mm-hmm. that prompted them to be able to share from their heart and share from their experience and even be vulnerable at right. times. And so they were able to respond in that way because you gave good questions, right? And so it was great. If you haven't listened to the sermon from this past week, you know, we had three people share from being interviewed by Sean. It was Daniel Hing and Olivia Jenks and Gevin Ka'ai. And then also Josiah was able to share too from her experience with Circuit Riders and just her missions trip that she just finished. So yeah, it was really cool to hear all the different testimonies because it also highlighted just the different generations and the ways that they feel called to serve, whether it's inside our church or outside our church too.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the different perspectives and just the way that they were open to talking about where things felt uncomfortable for them mm. and how they basically had to make a decision to trust in what God was doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and I really actually, okay, so here's some insider behind the scenes stuff. I was stressing out a little bit at the beginning of service because I knew that all these people were going to share and most of them got there at like 9:58. And so I was like, am I going to have to fill time on the message? They're showing up, right? But the Lord knew what was going on and it worked out great. And yep. All the sharing was awesome. So yeah. Shout out to all the people that shared and shout out to Sean too. It was really good. Portion of the service that you led.
Yeah. I have really enjoyed. Okay. I say this semi-ironically, not the sentiment, but because I heard so many people say it to me, and I'm sure Damon, you too, kind of growing up in the church where people are like, oh my gosh, I remember you when you were this high. I remember changing your diaper. I remember like all these memories of me being very small and growing up.
Okay, I don't remember you when you were that small.
Oh, not you, because I'm old.
I know, but I'm just trying to throw it out there that you might hear that from a lot of people, but you're not going to hear that from me.
Right. I'm the oldest on both sides of my family too. And then my parents served in the singles ministry. So there are a lot of, they're not currently single necessarily. They have, you know, maybe gotten married and have grown kids of their own at this point. But a lot of them would connect with me when I was, for example, Joey Ozawa, she's a member of our congregation, and she was my small group leader, and Jane, Auntie Jane Yasui, like they were key adults in my life as I was sitting in the side room waiting for my parents to be done with what felt like endless meetings. and as they were growing and learning and serving, I had the opportunity to sometimes be served by some of them. And then when I got to high school and college, and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're in college. And I have those same responses when I see our youth, you know, like, I can't believe, Sean, you're up there doing these things. I can't believe you guys are going on missions trips and coming back with these amazing testimonial experiences that you had. I love seeing that. And it, and that just highlights for me the fact that whatever you are doing might not just be for you. It also blesses the people around you.
Yeah, and it's cool to hear some of those names that you're throwing out. It's just like, wow, these people have been serving for a really long time, right? Because we're getting older.
Yep.
And so if they're serving when we were, you know, high school age.
Damon's not calling you guys old, by the way.
No. Just, I'm not calling anyone old except for myself and maybe the person I'm talking to. But, well, we're similar ages. So anyway, but just to see that the longevity of the serving, right? It's not just, oh, I'm going to serve for a short season, but it's like, no, that's a big portion of my life is to serve the Lord and where he's calling me. And it could be in different contexts because Catalyst wasn't around when we were in high school, right? So these are people that have been around in part of our lives for a long time. And it's just really cool to see just the generational impact of that, of their commit, their, you know, long-term commitment to serving, and the ways that it's like, they might not see it, but the ways that our kids are being impacted, it's like they impacted it, you know, in a way that might not be seen.
Yeah. And, you know, like your grandma, I remember her, obviously. I grew up in Gardena Valley Baptist Church. And so she was there. She was a constant presence. And
yes, my grandma was always at church. And I've shared some stories about her being always at church too.
But I love hearing some of the backstory and the context of, you know, how God called her into where she was placed. And even, I think Pastor Dean even maybe shared about a healing service or something. So I feel like I've heard her name mentioned by other people from different contexts.
I don't think it was Pastor Dean. Not for my grandma, but...
But she was present at other services and blessing other people just by her serving presence. Yeah. And I have clear memories of her. I'm like, I didn't even understand how she could reach the pedals on the organ.
Yes, she was a smaller lady, but she was, yeah. I mean, she played the organ all the time. She even wanted to play the organ at my wedding.
Oh.
But we told her, Grandma, you have to take the day off. You have to, today is a day just to enjoy. Like, you don't need to play at the wedding.
That's amazing. Yeah. I think that, I think I forget these like decades and generations of service. And then in me just trying to find my own place for serving, finding the rhythm that is where God wants you. It's not, there's always places to serve. There's always opportunities. So I think I have been trying really hard to ask and be open, but asking like, is this where you want me to serve right now? Sometimes serving does require more sacrifice than other times, depending on where you feel your resources and capacity are. And so it's not necessarily good to always say yes. I mean, say yes to God, because if God's leading you, he's not going to lead you wrong. But saying yes to everything is not always necessarily the right yes. So learning kind of what that looks like for each individual person is also a really important part of understanding where to serve and, you know, listening to what God's saying.
Yeah, and when you choose to serve, you know, you might be doing it for one reason, but the Lord might be having you do it for another reason, and you might never see the impact.
Because yeah.
I'm sure that some of the names that we've been throwing out, we're not anticipating, you know, one day I'm going to get a shout out for the way that I served on this podcast that's coming up, you know, in 40 years or, okay, less or, you know, but anyway, they're not doing it for the recognition that they're getting, mm-hmm. but we're recognizing the impact that those, that opportunities that they took and chose to serve and the ways that it impacted our lives. And, you know, so you might not ever know the impact that you're making when you decide and you choose to serve, mm-hmm. right? And it could be something that is, you might think is really small, might be really simple, but it could really make a huge difference in someone else's life, mm-hmm. right? And that, I think that's one of the things, you know, when we were, the last time I taught in the Pride, we went over the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, right? And really, he took a little bit of food, right? It was 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? That's not even a lot of food. It was probably enough for the boys' lunch, mm-hmm. right? But with that little amount of food, he did a big thing, right? And so for us too, in our serving, some of the things that we might be doing, like cleaning up the after church or setting up the service, might not seem like it's something super big. It's not like, oh, I didn't give the sermon, I just cleaned up after church, right? But the ways that you serve, the modeling that you're doing can make a much bigger impact that you don't even know about. And, you know, I think for me, that's one reason why I really feel like Pastor Barry is a great example of this. You know, like a lot of times I'll get to church early, right, to set up my areas and stuff, and he's out there vacuuming mm-hmm. the stairs and doing all the stuff, and it's like, he's the senior pastor and he's out here vacuuming the stairs
right.
to make sure that it's nice for people when they come, right? And it's like, wow, like his heart is just to serve our church family, you know? And really, he could be doing something totally, you know, he doesn't have to do that,
right.
but he's choosing to do that. And, you know, he recognizes that he wants our place to be a place that's inviting and not dirty. So he does it. And so, yeah, I just, when I see him do this, like, man, this is, I get the opportunity to come under mm-hmm. his leadership and be a part of his flock. Like, that's awesome. Like, I just feel very blessed to have him as our senior pastor too.
Yeah. Just to pile on, one time before service, I went into the women's restroom and Pastor Barry's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in here. He was, you know, refilling all the paper mm-hmm. products. Just again, I'm like, it's just a blessing to know that a person that I respect and trust in leadership spiritually and otherwise is just willing to be humble mm-hmm. and, you know, change paper in addition to all the other things and definitely the vacuuming.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, personally, I just feel so blessed that Pastor Barry is our senior pastor. Just, he's someone that it's like, wow, he's willing to even do the dirty work
right.
that, you know, someone of his stature doesn't need to do, but he's choosing to do it for our church. It's like, yeah, this is someone I could follow for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I like, I've seen a lot of really amazing examples of like servant hearted people that are serving from the right place. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really good example and a visual of how God wants it to look. Yeah, so I'm really thankful for the different opportunities and the sharing, because when people share their testimonies and share how their serving journey or thoughts mm-hmm. are going, it opens up more thinking and more ability to kind of understand yourself and just see how God moves in different ways. Mm-hmm. And that's always totally encouraging to me.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, you know, when we don't have experience in something, it's like, oh, I can't do that, or I don't want to do that. And it's just because you've never done it before, but that doesn't mean that you can't. And so I think sometimes the enemy tries to put those thoughts in our mind, like, oh, you've never done that before. It's like, well, what if God made you to do that? You just haven't done it yet,
right?
And so I think in some of those ways, it's good for us to just try things out or even just have conversations with different people. And that's one of the reasons that we had the ministry fair, is just to give people opportunities to see what else is out there, just different opportunities to serve, but then also to be able to talk to someone about it too, and not just, here's a list of things that we got, sign up for one, but, you know, giving people an opportunity to talk to the ministry leaders that are responsible for those areas too.
Right. This just reminded me, shout out to Elena for, she's kind of hosting a Spanish speaking women's, event tonight.
And yes, it's tonight. And by the time this podcast is released, it will probably be in the past.
Right. But she had asked me if I was coming, and I was like, I am a woman. I am not Spanish speaking. I did take some high school Spanish, but sure. I want to support. I want to see, you know, what God's doing. And so I said yes. And then, on Sunday I was talking to my kids about it, and I was like, hey, Brandon, do you want to come with me? And he's like, what? No, I'm not a woman nor speak Spanish. And I was like, it's okay. You don't have to be a woman or speak Spanish. You could help support in other ways if you want to. I didn't want to pressure him. Mm-hmm. And then it was cool, 'cause I think Garrett Kai, said, oh, I'm going to be there helping with sound and such. And so Brandon was like, all right, I'll come. I'm like, you know, great. And then see whatever happens. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm kind of excited to see what God's going to do. And I'm thankful that they'll have the opportunity to witness it. Mm-hmm. Regardless, it's even cooler when you're like, I'm not even sure what they're talking about.
So what you're saying is that we should have recorded this episode later in the week so we could talk about and give real props to Elena for what's going on. I mean, I heard it's going to be an amazing event. I heard it's, you know, there's a really expected good turnout already. Mm. And so when I heard some of the numbers that they're expecting, I was like, whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Again, just the inclusiveness and the obedience when you feel like God's saying something to you and you don't even know exactly what that's supposed to look like or if you're equipped personally or how confident you feel about it, but you just say yes and then you allow God to lead.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it, is a reflection of, you know, just the ways that as a church, we want to be able to steward the new facility well. You know, the Lord has blessed us with a new facility that we can call our own. Mm-hmm. You know, we were at Stanford Middle School for 18 years, and now that we have our own place, it's like, how can we steward our place well, and how can we serve the community? And, you know, that was one thing that Elena felt was on her heart, was just there's a community of women that need support, mm-hmm. that are Spanish-speaking, that they need a place for them. Mm-hmm. And so can we use our facility to provide that for them? And it's a way that we can serve the community in a different way than we have before. And yeah, I'm really excited to hear some of the stories. I'm not planning on being there myself, but I'm excited to hear some of the stories and some of the ways that, you know, people were blessed, through this event. So shout out Elena. Like, I heard it's going to be amazing. Excited to hear testimonies from that.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to practice my terrible high school Spanish. See how many, maybe every four words I could track.
Yeah, I was talking to Ron a little bit because they've been practicing, you know, what the worship team has been practicing. They do have a Spanish-speaking worship team. And so they've been practicing, I think they said 3 or 4 times already. So,
wow.
So Ron has graciously been at all the practices to help with sound and make sure that they sound good and everything. And he was telling me, like, it's cool. But some of the songs that they're singing are songs that I know in English, but they're just singing in Spanish. So it's kind of cool. Like, we can sing along in 2 different languages, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, that's always been something that's been touching to me, is when, you know, there are worship songs that are in different languages that we're able to sing at the same time, because God is so big, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, He knows all the languages, and so He hears our worship, and this is a way that we're connected with these brothers and sisters that you know, in what other ways are we connected to them other than through Jesus, right? And so through our worship, it's like we can be connected in that way too. It's like it's just special. It feels special to me.
Definitely. Yeah, I love the opportunity. Just I think it's important to go into communities that you're not familiar with so that you can just see how they live and understand their people, you know, mm-hmm. Regardless of background and circumstances, you know, they walk and they have to get groceries and make food and, mm-hmm. you know, like go about their business just the same way we do. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. I was like, I'm going to need a nap. But I want to see what's happening tonight.
All right, so we're running up a little bit on time. So, Liz, do you have any like closing thoughts that you'd like for our listeners to leave this episode with?
Yeah, I just encourage everyone to check in with the Lord. Again, there's always tons of amazing opportunities to serve, including opportunities that you may or may not definitely not want to do. But yeah, God is not going to take you somewhere that you're not supposed to be. Mm. And underlying that for me is always, again, as Damon, as you mentioned, the part about the fight, like the enemy is always trying to crush God's plans. And so I don't want to in any way, shape or form accidentally or overtly partner with the enemy's objectives. He doesn't need me specifically. He can use anyone, but I want to be able to say yes. And I trust that God knows where I'm at when I'm like, I'm not ready. Mm. I want to say yes, but I don't feel ready yet. Help me get there. So just encouraging everybody to take some time to reflect, ask God, you know, where do you want me? Help me to get there.
Awesome. 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 Yeah. I do feel like it is an important thing for us to be able to recognize the ways that the enemy is trying to get in our path mm-hmm. and say, I like how you phrased it. You know, I don't want to partner with what the enemy's doing, right? I want to partner with what the Lord is doing. And so, you know, taking that time to discern and sit with the Lord and see if this is something that he really wants us to do because he knows why.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that's an awesome last piece for our listeners. So thanks again, Liz, for coming on. Thanks for telling me that you had to come on. It's been a fun conversation. I think that's been cool. The last couple episodes, you know, our guests have been coming to me. I like it when guests come to me. So, okay, maybe I'm pitching that a little bit.
I think that's...
Please come on. Please tell me that you want to come on. Because we're always looking for guests, and I'm pretty sure nobody wants to hear me talk by myself. So, yes, if you don't want me to talk by myself, then be a guest. We're looking forward to.
You never know what you're going to say that's going to encourage other people that are listening. So, yeah, please, I'm happy to hear from everybody.
In a year, okay, that's an inside joke. Okay, anyway, thanks again, Liz. It was good to have you again, and I'm sure we'll have you again on in the future. So thanks to all you listeners out there. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.